Amen. So this is going to seem like a cheap preacher's trick, where I'm going to run down part of the clock by retelling part of the lesson we've just heard. And some of you might think, can't we just read it? And we just had the lesson read to us and we heard it. But I want to tell it to you with different words, and I want to try to lift up some themes in it and hopefully bring out some of the texture of this story. It's one we all know, and we probably know it too well to really pay attention to it. So we have this young man who is in a desperate strait. Situation is bleak, and everything that could have gone wrong has. He has absolutely nothing. He has no money, he has no home, he has no country, he's got nothing. And there had been a time where he had had it all. He had a family, he had a home, he had a country. But like some young people, he decided that he wanted everything now, and he was going out on his own, and he was going to live the high life. In modern terms, he wanted to drive fast cars, find faster women, drink, do drugs, whatever. And there was no time to waste. So how was he going to fund all of this? Well, he was going to ask for his inheritance. Now, sometimes children today will ask their parents for some money to help them buy a house or get an education or maybe do some other things. But asking a parent for your inheritance in today's society is not the same as it was back in the time of the parable. The property, if we looked at the Old Testament standards, was something that was held by the family in trust forever. It was an inalienable portion, and it wasn't to be frittered away. Yet what this younger son did was say to his father, "I want the money." And he wouldn't have gotten the money until his father had died. So he essentially said, "I want the money, and you are not worth anything to me. You would be better off to me dead than alive." Now, amazingly, the father said, "Okay, I will give you your share," and he sent him on his way. And then everything went to hell. And the first remarkable part of this story is that the young man recognized this. He had been reduced to working with pigs, and for a Jew, there was nothing that would have been more demeaning than that, and wanting to eat their food. And he was like an addict who had finally recognized the depths of his despair and his situation. He recognized he needed to make a change, and he took responsibility for what he had done. He didn't plan to go back home to ask his father to forgive him and to let everything go back to the way it was before. He was willing to own what he had done. How often are you or I willing to own our mistakes? Maybe when the system tells us we have to own them. Maybe when our family pressures us to own them. But it's rare when we want to do it ourselves. This young man had taken the first steps towards forgiving himself for what he had done. Not denying it, but trying to make amends. So he heads home. He heads home, not knowing what to expect. And then his father sees him coming down the road. And he rushes out to greet him. And any of us who are parents would think, "Well, of course I'd want to do that with my child." But think about what this younger son had done. And so he set aside any notions of propriety, any sense of his status, any sense of being the father and being in charge of the family. And he ran out. And he threw his arms around his son. And he was thrilled. He was delighted. He was pleased that his boy had returned home. And he wasn't interested in his son groveling. He was going to make him a part of his home again, and he was going to celebrate. The father had forgiven the son and had done it in grand fashion. It's a great story. It's a wonderful story. The sun is shining, the birds are singing, everything is lovely. And then the older son shows up, and the clouds move in, and the flowers wilt, and the birds stop their songs. He's angry, and he is resentful. There's no fatted calf for him. He doesn't get to wear a cloak. He doesn't get a new ring. He's just been slaving away in those fields all of these years. Nothing. But is his reaction justified? How much is his resentment worth to him? Now, we in the church have traditionally liked to look down at people like the younger son. And we said, you're a sinner. And you messed up and you got to pay. We like to be like the older brother, who in some ways is very justified in his reaction. But in other ways, he is as bad as the younger son was. Because anything the father spends from the estate now is coming out of the older brother's pocket. And he doesn't want to share. So he'd rather stew in his resentment than participate in the joy his father is knowing. This family has been restored. We don't know what happens next. We don't know if the brothers make up, if the father has second thoughts, if the younger son relapses. We don't know. And this is one of those parables where we get to write the next chapter. This season of Lent is one in which we repent. And we confess our sins to God. But have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about who we're confessing to? We're being judged. Do you like to be judged? I don't like to be judged. But Jesus has made it clear in this parable and throughout the Gospels that while God's love for us is great, and that God will forgive us, our actions have consequences. And we need to acknowledge when we are sinning. We need to be like that younger son. The God who judges us is not like some stern old figure sitting on the bench, speaking in a heavy southern drawl, waiting to mete out huge fines for the smallest of infractions. God is a parent to us. God is a parent who loves us and wants us to walk the right way, to follow the path of Jesus. And when we acknowledge that we have strayed, God is thrilled. He's excited to welcome us home. That's the kind of forgiveness we get from God. It's not grudging. It's not doled out in small portions. But it's the kind of forgiveness that can change lives. I don't know about you, but that sounds pretty good to me. So perhaps there is somebody to whom you need to extend forgiveness. I would suggest this Lent is a good time to do it. And I would suggest that perhaps you need to accept forgiveness from someone. And likewise, this Lent would be a great time to do that. Resentment might taste good at the moment, but as you know, if you eat too much of anything, drink too much of anything, you're going to feel sick. So set aside the resentment and enjoy the forgiveness.